In this conversation, we've been looking at some of the insights that have come out of Flux Trends. You know, they look at all the things that are happening that catch fire, that seem to spread and cause a butterfly effect. And this time around, it has to do with playtime. You know, for many parents, for many of us at this time of year, this back to school season, it just incites this mad scramble to organize our kids' lives, our kids' activities, from music lessons to football to basketball, whatever it is, to debating, athletics, whatever it is that they want to do, you have to organize their lives. But there's interesting research and interesting trends that are emerging around prescribing playtime for children. Nowadays, ironically, go outside and play is a form of punishment, you know, to this generation, to the young children. When you're told go outside and play, it is largely deemed as a form of punishment. So now in studio, we are joined by Bronwyn Williams, who is a trend translator at Flux Trends. But we'll also chat to Celeste Rushby, who is a parenting coach and occupational therapist at Munchkins, about the importance of free play, of playtime in a child's life. But first, let's understand this trend. That we've got Celeste listening in, but Bronwyn is with us in studio. Good afternoon, Bronwyn.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you for kicking us off for this year's set of conversations. You obviously watch all of these trends as they play out and see how they gain traction and the impact that they have, because so many of them also impact on how society begins to take shape. So what are we seeing as far as these prescriptions?
Okay, so well, what we're looking at now is Generation Alpha. That's the generation that is under 10 years old right now. It's the age of my daughter, so it's quite close to my heart. That
millennial
whole sort of
parents,
age group. Yes,
mostly,
exactly.
Mostly, probably.
And what we're seeing is that children today, Generation Alpha, are having up to only half as much playtime as we did when we were children.
Mm.
And we already had significantly less playtime than our parents had. So children are playing for less than 4 hours a week in some countries where they've done studies. And this is a symptom of our overscheduled lives. It's a symptom of how long we spend in traffic.
Yeah.
It's a symptom of how many things we're trying to fit into our children's lives just to keep them living up to the Joneses standard. Mm. I mean, we're seeing 3- and 4-year-olds going to Letterland classes and going to little engineers school and doing maths lessons.
Yes.
When I was a child, so we didn't do that. We might go to ballet or swimming classes, but the scheduling of our children's lives is leaving so little time for play that pediatricians, doctors, psychologists, occupational therapists are starting to be concerned that we are setting these children up for a whole lot of problems further down the line.
Wow. You know, when you talk about in our time, I remember we'd come back from school. Of course, you would rush to do your homework, but then the whole afternoon was open. Mm. You'd play in the streets. Your responsibility was to make sure that the curtains were closed when the sun was down. But as far as what you filled that with, it was free. It was open. There were games. There were kids. The streets belonged to the community. Whereas now, kids are not even encouraged to walk down to this puzzle shop because of, I don't know, lurking dangers or parents' worries and so on. So if we do observe, if we look and we compare, I think there is a case to be made about this decline. So this free, often outdoor playtime, as you say, is on the decline in favor of probably more indoor online activities.
More indoor and more scheduled activities. So not only are children not spending time outside in the sunshine and playing with human children and learning relationship skills that we got to do when we were kids, it's also that the time that they spend playing is spent more and more on scheduled activities and on educational games. They never have a chance to get bored. So they never get a chance to imagine or to think of creative play. So we're also setting this generation up to not be able to use their imagination. And when we look at things like the fourth industrial revolution, the skills that are going to have the longest longevity and be most valuable to these children are those soft interpersonal skills. And that's the very thing that we are accidentally, because we're trying to make their lives so full and so rich and prepare them for the future, that we're actually starting to handicap our children.
Of course, Western countries like the US would have figures. But I think anecdotally, in South Africa, we can draw on our own observations. How affected are we? Do we have any sense of how badly affected we are?
Well, I haven't seen too much research on how Generation Alpha is faring, but I have seen horrifying statistics with regards to high school students in South Africa, where 1 in 4 of our high school students is depressed or stressed in some way. And they're saying up to 21% of our high school students have contemplated or attempted suicide. Yeah. So that just shows the unhappiness in the way the children are just not developing the way they should. Your childhood should be the happiest, most carefree time of your life. And then to look across the world at India, which is in many ways quite similar to the sort of development South African history and society has had. And we're seeing that in New Delhi, the Department of Education there is now offering children in primary school happiness classes. Mm. Teachers are having to teach children how to be happy and to relax. And these happiness classes are part of the formal school curriculum. It's 35 minutes a day where the children learn mindfulness techniques. They learn breathing techniques. They don't have any tests or assignments or any stress in that class. Mm. And they just learn how to be happy and how to be essentially human beings rather than little robots and computing machines.
That is so interesting and tragic in a lot of
really
ways.
Sad.
Let's go to Celeste. Let's join Celeste now. She's a parenting coach and occupational therapist at Munchkins. Good afternoon, Celeste.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No, thank you for joining us. So you've been listening into the trend as Bronwyn was laying it out. And clearly there are associated risks to a child's development when they don't have enough free play or even playtime. What are those risks?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people really underestimate the power of play. I mean, it's not just kind of keeping the kids busy while you get stuff done.
Mm.
There are so many benefits. There's social skills, problem-solving skills, motor skills, cognitive skills. It even helps to improve their mood. And studies have shown it decreases childhood depression and anxiety, especially when it comes to outside play, because I'm sure it's related to their connection with nature, but also being in the sun it helps them to produce more vitamin D, which reduces your depression.
Mm.
But there are so many different benefits. I mean, think about a simple game of tag, right? Mm. Kids, tag, you're it, and that one needs to run around and try and catch the others. That is helping them with coordination, with balance, with fitness, with social skills, reflexes, their confidence. It improves their strength, their heart and lung function, prevents obesity and diabetes. I mean, all that from a game of tag. I think about maybe your five-year-old is busy playing dolls with her friends.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You think, okay, well, you know, they've got their dolls, they're keeping themselves busy. But actually, they are learning amazing social skills, conflict resolution. They're using their imagination, their creativity, their fine motor skills. They're also, you know, expressing and releasing emotions through role play. They're experimenting with their emotions to process their fears and hurts and their own experiences.
Mm.
There's so many benefits to them sitting and playing tea party with their friends.
Yes.
And for us, it might look so like it's nothing, but
yes,
it's
incredibly
powerful.
Yes, it's important because it seems like now we understand that play is not frivolous or unnecessary.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we got to a point where we started thinking that it was frivolous and unnecessary. But I also want to take calls and your thoughts as you listen in. How much time does your child spend playing? What are some of the obstacles to your child playing or having this free play time? Because so often parents feel burdened that now they have to participate and that their kids look to them to be part of the entertainment. We're so afraid to not let our kids be bored, to do their own thing. We want to manage every single minute of their time, and then we then feel burdened by this expectation. So I'll take calls 011-883-0702-31702 for your SMSs and 0727021702 for your WhatsApps on this question of free play. Like, have an open, honest assessment of how much free play your children are actually getting. How overscheduled are they? Here's handful_K on Twitter saying, I'm so guilty of this, Azania. I get annoyed with my son always nagging me about going to play outside. Oh, you're so lucky that he's nagging you to go play outside, saying because there's no time after school with homework, dinner, chores, and bedtime for enough hours of sleep all in 3 hours. So this is the overscheduling you were talking about, Bronwyn.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what we're finding with this trend that we picked up on is the doctors in the US, that's the American Academy of Pediatrics, mm-hmm. has released a report called The Power of Play. And they are actually prescribing play just like they would prescribe a Panado if your child had a fever, because it's so important for mental wellness and the well-being of that child. These children are stressed and depressed and actually sick because they don't have time to play. But by getting that script, it's almost like giving the parent and the child permission to say it's actually okay not to schedule all this time. Because I think a lot of the time parents are doing this from a good point of view. They're wanting to give their children the best and they feel guilty about not providing extramural activities for every hour of the day or not scheduling all that time, and they shouldn't. And this mm-hmm. gives them that permission. Mm-hmm. We're even seeing this now in the UK with adult patients where the NHS is now encouraging NHS doctors to prescribe playtime for adults who are stressed, depressed and lonely. So when you go to see your doctor in the UK, he might not get a script for Prozac. He might get a script for Latin dancing.
And I guess that's great when it comes to how medicated we are. But there's nothing more joyful than sitting on the floor and playing with your child, for instance, or playing a game, building Legos, doing something that is playful. So Celeste, even for adults, clearly this has huge benefits.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, to be honest, so I had 3 very premature children in under 3 years, mm-hmm. and I felt like I had no me time, and that was pulling me down. And I actually decided to put it in my schedule to have me time, playtime. Mm-hmm. It sounds funny, but I have scheduled playtime with each of my 3 children. And I have scheduled playtime for me to do something that I love to do.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what benefits that can have to your sense of self and your own, finding your own identity again and mm-hmm. just having, you know, happiness and confidence again, rather than just feeling like you are stuck in the rat race.
Yeah.
It's very beneficial.
Just break out of that mold of adulting and have some fun playing. Celeste, stay with us. Celeste Rushby is a parenting coach and occupational therapist at Munchkins. And we're also chatting to Bronwyn Williams, who's a trend translator at Flux Trends. Doctors in the US and in the UK are giving parents prescriptions for their children who are depressed and experiencing anxiety for free playtime or free play, for playtime to be a part of the day, at least an hour for them to spend playing. So how much time do your children spend just playing? And if it's very little, what are some of the reasons for that in the course of the day? 011-883-0702. Azanya Mosaka on 702. It's 7 minutes to 2 o'clock. We're taking your calls about free play, that playtime that's ever so essential for children. And I think we don't say enough about boredom, the value and the importance of boredom. And in studio, we have Bronwyn Williams, trend translator at Flux Trends. And on the line to us is a parenting coach and occupational therapist at Munchkins, Celeste Rushby. Celeste, the importance of boredom. Let's talk about that and what it allows.
I've got a little rule in my house. If my kids come to me and they say that they are bored, I say to them, oh, honey, really? Okay, well, you've got 2 choices. Either you can go find yourself something to do, or I can give you something from the task list. And they soon find out that the task list includes things like having to sweep the patio and pick up the dog poo and mm-hmm. things like that. But I think what's so common nowadays is that parents are afraid that their children are going to get bored, where boredom is a good thing. It makes them think out the box and be creative and go, okay, you know what? I've been playing with my blocks in this way for so long. I'm sure there's another way that I can play with it. Let me bring the airplanes and integrate it and build an airport instead. Mm-hmm. Or let me bring the dolls and make a house for them with it instead. You know, it's good for them to be bored. It forces them to have to think about things in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I find often the big issue about parents being, you know, wanting to rather just put on the TV or give them devices to play with is the fact that parents are struggling with boundaries. they're afraid of the tantrum that comes when they say, love, I need you to go and play outside so I can get supper ready. Or I need you to go and play quietly in your room so that I can, you know, finish up whatever it is. They're afraid of their child's behavioral outburst, where really they just need to have boundaries, which is, it's so important for your child's confidence, for their listening to authority, their ability to go and do some free play. Like we were saying, it's so important for them to go and do this free play. You need to just calmly put down those boundaries. That's the way it's going to be.
It's an interesting insight. I think it gives us something to reflect on if that's what we're doing, just relying on the TV and the screen. Let's go to Karen calling from Northcliffe. Hello, Karen.
Say bye.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. So I just wanted to phone in and say that I, you know, I have 4 kids under the age of 10. And I just found that, you know, that the digital world has become so negative for our children. My kids want the device all the time. They want to play on a video game. They want to watch TV. They want to do all sorts of things all the time. And so, you know, I started reading this book called Digital Cocaine by Brad Huddleston.
Oh, yes.
And he talks about digital addiction in kids and how it's so negative, it, you know, that it has on their brain development, on how addictive it is. And just overall, that it's such a negative thing that we decided we were going to change things. I think my husband and I have decided, for instance, in the last 2 weeks at home, we just said to them, look, the TV is not working properly. So we unplugged it at the wall, and the kids believe that it's not working properly. It has changed my children completely. They play outside all day. They find things to do.
Yeah.
My older one, who's like 9, she reads more. The other ones, they play with one another all the time.
Yeah.
But when you have the TV on all the time, all they do is become like vegetables, and they become totally absorbed. And the downside is that your house is dirtier. You know, you've got frantic kids running up and down all the time, or you've got a lot of kids over because then they want a play date with friends. But, I mean, what would I rather have? I'd rather have that, right? So that's kind of the decision we've taken, and we've said now that school has started, that we're not going to have TV in the week at all. And weekends, we will decide what is watched.
Yes, and it'll be limited. Oh, Karen.
And it will be limited.
Very brave.
As well as that.
Very brave of you. Celeste was talking about how so many parents are afraid of their children's reaction. Did they initially, did you see a little bit of anger in them?
For sure. So they say things like, we can't live without TV. I need your phone. I want to play with your phone. And we decided, my husband and I, that we're going to actually hide our devices.
Wow.
So when we come home, our device is for a phone call. But when we're WhatsApping, when we're emailing, that we ourselves are going to be disciplined in that.
Yes,
and we're not going to show them that behavior.
Yes.
That can happen at night, or when they're at school.
Oh, Karen, that's fantastic.
All the time.
And it sounds like it's changed your home. Thank you for the call. Just say the TV's not working. It's as simple as that. So simple. And she's avoiding all these other risks. I think we have to be very cognizant of the risks that come with not allowing children to have free play. And I understand that, especially in early childhood development programs or in school, they feel compelled to add more didactic components to the curriculum. There's less play and so on. But there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance, not just at school, but in our own homes as well. That's where we have control, at least.
Yeah.
Celeste?
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear you direct that to me. That's right. You know, I've got something that I put in place with my clients that we call it chill time, where you actually teach your children to play in an allocated space for an age-appropriate length of time by themselves. So, you know, sometimes your kids are getting on each other's nerves. And unfortunately, if you're using go to your room as a punishment, then you won't be able to use chill time. So we don't use the bedroom for timeout. Because you want to be able to say, oh, guys, look, it looks like you need a little bit of space. Okay, you go and play in your room. You go play outside. You go play in the playroom, you know, wherever it at the spaces that you've allocated. You can do whatever you want. Have lots of fun. Is there anything you need me to get down from the shelf for you? Okay, great. Have a great time, my love. But don't come out till I tell you it's over, okay? So that helps them to learn to play by themselves and not be reliant on others to entertain them or screens to entertain them and to be creative and think out of the box on how to play in different ways. And also that they can ask for chill time then when they feel like they need a bit of space.
Yes, that they themselves feel overwhelmed. Yeah. Well, Celeste, we are out of time, but thank you so much for your insights.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That's parenting coach and occupational therapist at Munchkin, Celeste Rushby. And of course, always bringing us insights on what's happening in the rest of the world. We're likely to see it here as well. Prescribing free playtime for children is happening in the US and the UK because they're simply overscheduled. They are increasingly depressed at a younger and younger age. We've got Bronwyn Williams, trend translator at Flux Trends. Thank you, Bronwyn.
Thank you for having us.